to men and women in that country, building into entire cities in those countries and trying to raise up movements of disciple makers. I've been in South Africa, have been in John's home with he and his wife and family. I met a number of his workers in Israel. They have a tremendous passion for Christ and for winning people to Jesus and then helping them to grow in their faith. So we've supported John now about a year, I believe. And John was with us earlier in the year. And we're pleased to have him back with us. He's over here visiting some people in the States. Asked if he could come back to the church. I said it would be wonderful to have you because I know a number of you have not met John. You've not listened to him. And what John brings to the table is a passion for Jesus.
Amen.
He loves Jesus as much as anybody I know, and not just in love with the Lord. He wants to help people fall in love with the Lord. So this is John. John will be speaking to us today. What I want you to do is put out your hands towards John. It's what we do here. And pray. Father, we love you. We love your son, Jesus. We're so grateful for all that he has done for us. And for men like John around the world who have prioritize you in their life, in their family, in their nation. They devote themselves to you. We thank you for John, for his ministry. We look forward to hearing from his perspective something deeper about the life of Jesus that can challenge us and influence us to do exactly what he's doing over there, but to do it here in our world, in our homes, in our communities. Mm. So use John to shake us, use John to challenge us, and just use John to speak your words into our life. We pray in Christ's name, we all said.
Amen, amen, amen. I'm going to move this down so that I am closer to you. Really good to be with you. And Don, my wife says that she's got a lot of gray hair because of me, so I understand. It's wonderful to be here again. You saw the picture at the beginning of the service. I am married to Lorna. This is our, I think you call it your crown wedding anniversary. 30th of December, I will have been married to Lorna for 30 years. And yeah, what a blessing. Born and bred in Africa, my whole life, love Africa. Don comes over and Evie come and visit right near where we live. It's most probably one of the beautiful parts of the world, one of the most beautiful parts of the world. Right, beautiful mountain on the sea, and so I can either walk out and go on the mountain where the lions attack me, and no, I'm joking. The closest lions are in zoos very far away from us. I see more wildlife on your streets here than I do back in Africa. Some of them teenagers, but then the deers. So, yeah, Africa's not as wild as you think, a beautiful continent, and just, yeah, love living in Africa, and I had the privilege of being a part of growing a movement of disciple making. Yes, we're impacting into 41 countries around Africa, and excited that there are indigenous leaders leading in 26 of those countries. And so we're busy pioneering into the others and working. I'm working specifically in Egypt and just seeing how God is birthing something in Egypt that is helping the church rethink disciple making. And it's more than just a gathering weekly. Tonight we'll speak a little bit more around what J-Life is doing in multiplying disciples who make disciples, who make disciples. Is this thing going to click at you the whole time? For those people that hopefully moving it will help, okay? But this morning, I want to pick up on the theme that's not working. Is it because it's too close to my mouth? Is it? So it's not where it's situated. Okay, is that better? Okay, I want to pick up on your how-to theme. I want to see how well they've done it over the last few weeks. You've, I think, done four how-tos. Anybody remember what they are? How to pray, okay? How to forgive, huge one, okay? How to be a friend, okay? Across the room, because there's somebody here that needs a friend. Okay, how to be a friend. How to use the Bible. And I'm going to pick up on the fifth one, the most exciting one. I mean, you couldn't have had me here on a better day than today. I love talking about how to live like Jesus lived. And when we think about how to live like Jesus lived, there's one verse in the Bible that sticks out for me. And it has become my life verse. Are you understanding the strange accent? Or must I slow it down? Are you there? Okay. How to live like Jesus. There's one verse that sticks out for me. Okay. When it comes to how to live like Jesus. Jesus' apostle wrote a number of years after Jesus had ascended into heaven, and he made this statement, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Okay? Another translation, whoever claims to be in him must walk as Jesus walked. And as I look at the life of Jesus and I get more and more into the life of Jesus, there are two passages that I want to highlight this morning that literally blow me away. Okay? Two passages that become a life mission for me. Okay? The first is this, and it comes out of John 5:19, where Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing on His own. This thing is going to give you feedback. Is that better or worse? Worse. Okay, there. But now it's going to the whole time. I'll leave that to the sound guys, okay? Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing on His own accord, but only what He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. And then the second verse is in John 17:4. Just before Jesus is going to be arrested, Jesus says, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. Another translation says, having fully accomplished everything you gave me to do. As I look at these two passages and I think of that in light of walking as Jesus walked, I'm challenged to say, I definitely do not only do what I see the Father doing. And I'm left going, I struggle every single day to even live in relationship with the Father enough to say, I've heard the Father telling me to do this, and I will only do that. Anybody else witness with me on that front? Okay? Like I go into a meeting, and I finish that meeting. At the end, I go, ooh, I wasn't listening to the Father. I never did only what the Father wanted me to do. I think my greatest desire is that at the end of every day, I would be able to say, I only did what the Father would have me to do. I think my greatest desire is that at the end of my life, I can pray like Jesus prayed. I fully completed the work you gave me to do. How did Jesus get to the point in his life that he was able to say, I've finished it. I've done it completely. I've completed it. How was Jesus able to say, you know, I only do what I see the Father doing? I'm left thinking to myself that Jesus, as John encourages us to abide in Jesus, Jesus abided in a deep, intimate relationship with the Father, that he could say that he only does what he sees the Father doing, and ultimately he completed it fully. And so as we look at how to live like Jesus, we have to start by going, the way that we live like Jesus is to follow how Jesus abided in the Father. And so you and I, our starting point, John says, whoever says he abides, we have to start by going, I have to abide. John chapter 15 verse 5, Jesus makes a statement, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides, give me another word for abides. Okay, obey, another one. Follow, walks, another one. Lives in, okay. And another translation, the translation I grew up with says, whoever remains in, okay, remains in. So Jesus goes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me, lives in me, and I in him, he or she, it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And I think of getting to the end of my life and saying, I've done it fully. I've completed fully what you gave me to do. I have to admit, the only way I do that is by abiding in Jesus. Living in Jesus. Jesus will go on to say in John 15:10, a few verses later, and this is just before he's going to be arrested and crucified and then ultimately ascending into heaven. He's saying to guys, if you want to carry on doing it right, then you've got to abide in me. How do you abide in me? You keep my commandments. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abided in his love. How did Jesus live? He abided in the Father. How do you and I need to live if we want to live like Jesus? We need to abide in Jesus. Because in abiding in Jesus, we are abiding in the Father. So 1 John 2:6 says, whoever abides in him. And sometimes I feel like, well, what does that really mean? What does it mean to remain in Jesus? Well, Jesus says, hey, to remain in me, obey my commands. John says, if we abide in him, we will walk as Jesus walked. And so the rest of our time together this morning, I want to look at kind of the outworking of abiding will be that we walk as Jesus lived. How do we need to live like Jesus? We need to walk as Jesus walked. And there are two dimensions here that I want to pick up on, and we're going to have some table time out of this. The first dimension, as I walk like Jesus walked, I have to acknowledge that I've got to walk in the character of Jesus. Okay? So I've got to be like Jesus. And Pastor Don mentioned that our emotions are governed by our belief system. Okay? So being like Jesus, the character of Jesus is our starting point. And then the second part is the priorities, that I live the priorities that Jesus lived in everyday life. So will you take some time just around your table? I want you to pick up on two things. What are the character traits that I see in Jesus that I need to model? Okay, get it? Character. It's being a disciple of Jesus. What character traits do I see him living that I need to be like Jesus? And then the second side of the coin that I want us to look at this morning is, what are the priorities that I see Jesus practicing in everyday life? Okay? I see who he is, but I also see what he does. And we talk about the priorities or practices that Jesus lived out in everyday life. So around your table, just spend a few minutes highlighting what are the character traits that I should be following and what are the priorities. What did Jesus prioritize every single day that I need to start making my DNA? I do these things as a natural part of everyday life. Okay, can you do that? Let's do that together around your table. Okay, let's start wrapping it up. Okay, from your tables, why don't you throw out some of the character traits that we see in Jesus that we need to model, or that he modeled for us, we need to live out. Passion, okay, yes, sir. Humility, big time, eh? Okay. Say again. He was kind, okay? Kindness, absolutely so. Somebody else. Teacher, we're going to talk about that maybe as a priority. Character is who he is, okay? But that's great. We'll get to it. Yes. Okay, again, a priority, okay? Yes, at the back, Lisa. Loving, okay? Just absolutely kind, compassionate. There are a whole lot of words that can come with loving. Okay, yes, another one here. Obedience, okay? Absolutely. Honest, okay? Yes, ma'am. Okay, absolutely. So he was totally dependent on the Father in relationship to the Holy Spirit, okay? Somebody else? Faithful, yes. Accepting. A good listener, okay? Yes. Okay. So a number of things that come out of Jesus' being, okay? Obedient to the Father. Let's move into Jesus' priorities. And we've already heard prayer. What was the other one that we heard? Teaching, okay, and I heard you bring it up. He brought the word, okay? Somebody else. Serving, okay? He was absolutely a servant, and that could also be a character trait. Servant-hearted, okay? Somebody else. Okay, absolutely so. And what is right according to God's agenda? Okay, not the religious system or Caesar, and we're going to circle back to that shortly, okay? Yes. He built relationships, deep relationships, okay? Somebody else? He was approachable, and I think that comes into the relationships. Yes, young man. Say again. Had a relationship with the Father? Okay, absolutely so, yes. Any others? He was a discipler. Okay, I love that. And we're also going to circle, who was that? Okay, yes, we'll circle back to that too, Kevin. Any others that stand out to you? He confronted what? Okay, sin. Yeah, he confronted the religious often around how they had taken a religious system and they were using it for their ends rather than for the kingdom end. We're picking up a number of things that Jesus prioritized through his ministry. And when we talk about how to live like Jesus, we need to acknowledge that it deals with my character, who I am, being a disciple of Jesus, okay? And I think that as I grew up in church, there was so much focus on me being a disciple and very little focus on me making disciples, okay? And this speaks about the priorities of Jesus. This speaks about me living every single day different to the world system and structure that I found myself in. And so this morning, I would love to push into these priorities, okay? There's another day for another sermon when you can look at the character of Jesus. He was humble. He was yearning after the Father the whole time. He was literally, he endured, and that was a part of his character. He endured through hardships. And these are the character traits that we need to have. But for the sake of time this morning, I was told I need to finish by 12:30. For the sake of time, I just want to, no jokes, okay. I want to push into the character traits, the priorities that we see Jesus living out. And some you've already looked at in the how-tos. All of them were mentioned here because they are so evident in Jesus' life. If I'm going to live out his priorities, I'm going to practice him. And the more you practice, what did they say when we were young? Practice makes perfect in our place, permanence, okay? So the more you do, the more they become a part of your DNA. And they then are a natural outworking. I want to pick up on seven of them. And so we're going to rush through these this morning. When you get home on your email, you'll get an evaluation on an assessment that will just help you determine how are you doing personally at this priority in your life. Now, I want to say that your depth of influence in the world that we live in will be determined upon your weakest priority. Okay? So don't measure yourself against those things you're doing well at. Keep doing them. But raise those things that you are not living like Jesus in. So number one, let's pick up on that. We're going to speak about Jesus being Holy Spirit filled. Okay? Every aspect of Jesus' life and ministry was saturated by his dependence to the Holy Spirit. Okay? We do not see Jesus in his humanity doing anything for the kingdom before the Holy Spirit comes upon him. Okay? And so Jesus was able to hear the Father, to know the Father's will, to obey the Father's will because he had the Holy Spirit with him. Fast forward a little bit and we come to the early church. Jesus says to that early church, hey, do not leave Jerusalem until who has come? The Holy Spirit. So Jesus recognized that what he did, the church would only be able to do if they had the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes down upon the church, and then we see that the early church demonstrated exactly what Jesus had done because the Holy Spirit was on them. And so as you and I are asking ourselves, how do we live like Jesus? People who live like Jesus are led by the Spirit to know the will, okay? To know the will of the Father and are empowered by the Spirit to do His will. Okay? When I look at Jesus, I can look at Jesus and go, you know, I can never do what Jesus did. You can never on your own. And Jesus could never on His own. It was only after the Spirit comes on Jesus as a man that Jesus is able to hear the Father and Jesus is able to function in the power of the Spirit. Led by the Spirit, Jesus goes into the wilderness. And the Spirit was upon Jesus, it says, to heal the sick. You and I can do what Jesus did if we learn to live obedient to the Spirit's leading and operate out of the Spirit's empowerment. I think as I look at our lives, there are two things that we've got to work on when it comes to being Holy Spirit filled is, Holy Spirit, I need to hear You. Okay? A lot of us will go to other people and say, well, what do you think I need to be doing with my life? Or I'll go to a spiritual guru on the internet and I'll listen to his understanding of Scripture instead of going to the Spirit of God who reveals truth to me. So, hearing the Spirit. And the second thing is to operate in the power of the Spirit. I think the church, we've lost that. If I read Acts, which is the Acts of the Spirit, I just see the power of the Spirit moving through the church. That as Peter's shadow touched people, they were healed. What do we do? Oh, you're sick. When you go into the doctor, should we be like Jesus? And laying our hands on somebody and seeing the power of the Spirit bring kingdom into that person's life, restoring them to bring glory to the Father. And so the first thing Jesus prioritized, and there is no order of priority here. They are all important and they all feed into one another. Okay? The first thing is that Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, and you and I, if we're going to walk like Jesus, we need to be tapping daily into what that looks like. The second is prayerful dependence. Now, you've picked this up already in your how-tos. I want to give it a different nuance. It's prayerful dependence. It's not just praying, but it's making prayer my default. Are you getting this? When I look at Jesus' life, there are 45 sections in Scripture, 30 different instances that Jesus either modeled prayer or He taught prayer. Okay? Most famous one, Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Most of us hated except Uncle Dennis. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark. Okay? Jesus got up and prayed. I'm in his home, and I'm trying to sleep, and I hear it very early in the morning. Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed before he appointed his apostles. He spends the night. Jesus prays after amazing celebrations. Okay? He feeds the 5,000. I would have come together with the apostles, and I would have said, man, that was awesome, eh? Did you see what God did? Jesus sends him away and he goes and realigns and he prays. Prayer for Jesus was a lifestyle of connecting with the Father. And as we think of prayerful dependence, we even look in the book of Acts, Acts 2 verse 42, we see how the early followers, the early believers followed Jesus' example. Prayer was a part of who they were. It was not just a meeting they went to. Dennis, I have loved being with you the whole of yesterday, because often Dennis just pops out in prayer. That's prayerful dependence. I will never again say to somebody, I will pray for you and then leave it for later. Because that's not prayerful dependence. I often will forget. So I pray for them then and there, and I'll pray for them later. Is prayer our default, like it was for Jesus? People who live like Jesus develop a lifestyle of prayerful dependence. The third area, and we're going to run through these things, is obedience to the kingdom agenda. The kingdom Jesus came to establish was completely distinct from the worldly, the secular, the Roman institution, and the religious systems. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, it says, from that point on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He came to establish a kingdom that was no longer situated in Jerusalem, the religious system, that was no longer situated in Rome, where Caesar was, but it would be in the hearts of man, where the king reigned, and those people would obey the king and ultimately take ground for this kingdom that Jesus came to establish. The kingdom centered on its subjects worshiping the king. This was demonstrated by their obedience to the kingdom agenda. It got them killed. And throughout the book of Acts, we see the example. As Jesus lived that kingdom, you remember Caiaphas says, it's better for one man to die. Well, Jesus said, I will die to bring that kingdom in. Throughout his life, he wanted his followers to understand there is a new kingdom and live to advance that kingdom through your sphere of influence. And so people who live like Jesus are passionate about bringing the kingdom into their world. I think the greatest value of you and I living like Jesus is that the world will be a better place. Do you believe that? Do you believe that living by the kingdom agenda will bring value to your workspace, to your school, to where you have recreation? The kingdom is the best for mankind. And Jesus brought that into his life. And hear this. After 3.5 years, his disciples still had not fully got it. Because after his resurrection in the beginning of the book of Acts, they are going, well, are you going to restore Israel to us as it was? Are you going to do that now? In their minds, the kingdom was going back to David's heyday, King David's heyday. But Jesus had a different plan. And that plan was that his kingdom would go out to all nations. That his kingdom would redeem lost people, people in darkness, and it would place them into light. People who live like Jesus prioritize bringing the kingdom into their sphere of influence every day because they are obedient to a king, the king, not a government, not a religious system, the king who is expanding his kingdom. Fourthly, and we've got 7 of these. I'm running out of time. 12:30's coming, okay? The fourth area is word-centeredness. And you've already looked at how to read the word, I think was how you put it, okay? Jesus was word-centered. We look at how to read the words. Word, because Jesus prioritized the word. 80 times, Jesus will quote the Old Testament as he is doing everyday life. Then we see that the in the book of Acts, the early church did what Jesus did. Early on in the book, we read that they themselves reflected and listened to the apostles' teaching as they went deeper into the Word. People who live like Jesus use Scripture as Jesus did. They use Scripture to resist the devil or Satan. When did Jesus use Scripture to resist Satan? Okay, in the wilderness. Okay, Jesus teaches us to pray, Lord, lead me not in the way of temptation. When you come to those temptations, Jesus' way of handling it was Scripture. He resists Satan. He guides life decisions through Scripture. I am amazed at how many Christians today don't use Scripture, don't know Scripture. So when it comes to tough life decisions, young people, who I'm going to date, they use their own intellect or they look at their friends. Jesus used Scripture to make critical life decisions. He rebukes, corrects, and warns. He rebukes the Pharisees, religious leaders, using Scripture. One of the best verses today that the world wants to use is, judge not lest you be judged. Scripture allows us opportunity to rebuke and speak into people's lives what God is saying, not what I am saying. Scripture allows us to correct and help guide people so that they have life. Scripture helps us warn. And I think that people who live like Jesus have the Word of God in their hand and allow the Holy Spirit to take the Word of God and speak that into every situation for themselves personally and for those they are influencing to change the world around us. The fifth priority that we see Jesus prioritizing is exalting the Father. Jesus existed to bring glory to the Father. He did this in His personal devotion to the Father as well as through His service in ministry. And so He spent times alone just worshiping the Father. But in everyday life, as He walked, and I go and I think of Romans 12, of our bodies as living sacrifices. That is what Jesus did. Holy and pleasing. For this is our spiritual act of worship. And so as Jesus lived, as He walked, as He encountered people, He was worshiping the Father because the way that He did it was honoring to the Father. May your light shine before men so that they will see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. The early church lived out Jesus' example, exalting the Father by praising Him and obeying Him. As we look at people who live like Jesus, they exalt the Father for what He is, for who He is, and for what He has done. And this has two dimensions. It's both at a personal, individual. So I get up in the morning and I go and I spend time in that quiet place just thanking God. Or I go for a walk. You must come and visit Cape Town. We go up the mountain and it's just like it's glorious. Just flowers. In our area, there are 10,000 different species of wildflowers created by God, who He is. I was walking with one of my disciples on Tuesday, and there's just like this flower standing there, and I stop and I go, wow. And we marveled at who God is, individually and corporately. I don't just worship God when we come and we sing together corporately, but I also don't just do it individually. We do it both and we see how Jesus modeled that for us. A second to last, relationships. And somebody mentioned that, I think, at this table. Okay? Jesus prioritized relationships. We see when Jesus is asked, what is the greatest commandment? He says, the most important commandment is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Three relationships mentioned there. Relationship with God. With? Say it louder. Your neighbor and self. Okay? And when we live in this priority, all three of those become a very real part of how we influence the world around us. Jesus continuously interrupted the general course of life to build into these three relationships. A love for God, he would withdraw to spend time with his Father. A love for self, he would withdraw because he needed to renew himself. And he knew who he was in relationship to the Father. So he was totally confident in himself and could love himself. And because he knew the Father and he loved himself, he was able to love others. So people who live like Jesus, they love God. They make that their primary focus. And flowing out of that, they find their true identity and are able to love self. And out of that, they are able to love their neighbor. It's this kind of loving relationships that can change our world. Literally can change our world. So I come into the U.S., I see such a polarization. I see that Christians, I mean, I heard one Christian say, and he mentioned a party, and he goes, a Christian, and I'm not going to mention which party, that's an oxymoron. We have been so polarized that we no longer will build relationships with somebody that doesn't believe what I believe. And I think of Jesus with Zacchaeus, somebody that it was absolutely hated. I think of Jesus with Matthew, the tax collector, hated by the Jews. Yet Jesus enters his world. And he loves on a man and changes that man's life. And because of that, we still live in under that influence as Matthew writes a book of Matthew. Jesus prioritized redemptive relationships with people. He crossed racial, he crossed political, he crossed every boundary because the kingdom of God was about relationships. And then we move on to the last one, and I've got another hour and 15 minutes. So we're going to spend a good deal of time on this one. People who live like Jesus will be people who are intentional about multiplication. Jesus prioritized a few to invest into them so that they would be able to change the world that they were in. 3.5 years, Jesus prioritized multiplication. Okay? He goes and he finds Philip right at the beginning of the book of John, and he says to Philip, hey, follow me. What does Philip do? Straight away, Philip goes and he multiplies it out. He finds Nathanael and he says, hey, come. And meets a man from Nazareth. And Nathanael goes, what good can come out of Nazareth? And Philip says, come and see. Already multiplication is happening at the beginning of his ministry. But throughout Jesus' life, he identifies a few. He pours himself into them. Because he knew that kingdom expansion was going to happen through these people. And he prepares them to multiply, calling them closer in. What does Jesus say to the apostles? He appoints them apostles so that they might be with Jesus, so that he can send them out. And he sends out the 12, and he sends out the 72. And then we get to the end of Jesus' life, where Jesus prays in John 17, not just for his disciples, but he prays for those who will believe in him because of his disciples. So Jesus prioritized multiplication, and he expects you and I to do the same. People who live like Jesus intentionally invest their lives into others in order for them to do the same. Matthew 28, 19. Who knows that verse? Okay? Say it for me. Do you want to say it for us? Okay, all authority has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples. Next, teaching them to obey everything. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to obey everything I've taught you. What's he just teaching them? Go and make disciples. Teaching them to obey, to go and make disciples. So if I'm going to invest my life into you, teaching you to obey, the natural outworking is that I'm going to teach you to go and make disciples. And so if I'm going to live this priority in my life, I not only must be a discipler, but I must be a disciple maker. And you will know if you're a disciple maker by whether you can count to the fourth generation at least of your disciples. This past week, I was sitting with a group of men, and one of the guys said, "Hey man, I just want to say that I'm so encouraged. I've been discipling Caleb. Caleb started discipling another guy who I have no influence over. I don't even know him." Okay? This is kingdom expansion. This is obedience to the kingdom agenda so that the kingdom can take over the world. Caleb started discipling him. Caleb says, "This week, you know, my friend has started discipling somebody else." Teach him, Caleb, to teach him to obey, disciple making. Jesus was intentional about making disciples. And so people who live like Jesus intentionally invest their lives into others in order for them to do the same. And so, Pastor Don, you will be happy. There's an acronym there. Okay? It's HS power to the factor X. Okay? As you live Holy Spirit-filled, prayerful dependence, obedient to the kingdom agenda, word-centered, exalting the Father, relational, and multiplying that out, somebody else is going to do the same. And that kingdom DNA, those kingdom priorities that become practices, we have everybody doing. And the kingdom expands. And so I'm coming to the end. How do you live as Jesus lived? Abide in him. Okay? Walk in Jesus' ways. As we look at how to live like Jesus, we abide in Jesus, we walk in the character and the priorities of Jesus. And so two questions as we wrap up. The first is this: how do I live like Jesus? I abide in Jesus. How do I abide in Jesus? I believe if we live the priorities, these priorities, you will remain in Jesus. Okay? Because the Holy Spirit will tell you when you're moving away. Or your prayerful dependence will be changing you as you are praying. Or as you're living obediently to the kingdom agenda. As soon as you stop abiding. Are you getting this? How do we live like Jesus? Abide in him. If you want to abide in him, do what Jesus did, because then you'll remain in him. So when you get home today, I sent this out after church. I didn't do it now because I was scared I was going to get killed before I left here, okay? When you get home, there's going to be an email in your inbox that's going to help you evaluate how you're doing at the seven priorities. I'm not giving practical, hey, this is what you can do to move into that. I'm just purely helping you see this is what Jesus did, how are you doing? You need to be intentional about aligning yourself with somebody that can help you live those priorities. And so let me pray for us. Jesus, we thank you for the incredible example that you modeled. We thank you, Jesus, that